Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. And joining me today, Dr. Alice Benton. Hello, Alice.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
And Chris Williams. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, good to be here with you guys.
And both of us are going to be there at that Life Recovery Conference and the 30th anniversary celebration that, Chris will be at Life Recovery, and then all three of us are going to be at the 30th anniversary, and the 30th anniversary is the 19th of October, and then our Life Recovery Conference coming right up here, October the 6th, both of those at Mariners Church in Southern California, a fantastic church. Jack West is the recovery pastor and has just done such great things for us and in that church there in the ministry, and we're excited about it. So check it out. And, you know, if you're struggling with your recovery, it's a great place to come. And even if you're not, it's a great place to get inspired with some new concepts or even how to run a group. If you want to join us on the program today, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We're starting to wrap up September here. Got another week or so. And fall is, I'm in Indianapolis, and it's obvious that fall is here. And what a great time to start new, start fresh. And I would just say this. As we approach these last 90 days of the year, what a great time to get something taken care of during 2018 so you don't have to drag it over there into 2019. And if there is anything like that going on in your life, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the place to call. And we're just still so blown away by what happened at our weekend, this past weekend in Dallas, at the Marriage Intensive. And we're doing the next one February the 15th, the weekend of Valentine's Day. What a great time to get that act together. And here's the thing. You know, a lot of people say, we have nothing. Why would we even come? We have nothing. Well, I got to tell you, I was sharing this with my assistant. My wife and I were at a point one time where we had nothing. I mean, really, no feelings. Well, if there were feelings, they were negative. You could even say we had less than nothing. And the person we were working with said, okay, so you both have nothing for each other. Right, nothing. She says, all right, well, that's something. You got that in common. Let's start there. And we did. And it was the beginning. And I got to tell you, we had people come to this weekend. Some guy didn't even tell her till she got there. He was going to leave. Others were thinking about it, and they were so grateful they came. That's what happens at these weekends. Every man's battle is coming up, and man, if you are struggling with sexual integrity, why do that? Don't do that. So many lives, I guess you saw Bill Cosby sentenced yesterday to 3 years, I guess 3 years minimum in prison. What a sad thing. All he needed was a couple of days or 48 hours with us, and that would have been cleared up. I don't know what path you're on, but if it's anything like that Bill Cosby path, get off of it before something horrible like that happens. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are 1,000 excuses not to do anything. What are you living on? Which one? Don't tell yourself, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get the help that I need. Honor God, honor your heritage, honor your family. Do whatever you need to do. And then we've got Restore coming up in November. Well, when we come back, I'll find out how to make this call screener work, and we're going to go right to your calls here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today on New Life. 1-800-229-3000. Give us a call.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're excited to be with you, and we're going to go right to the calls at 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to start our program off with Angela from Long Branch, New Jersey. Angela, how are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing okay. How could we help you today? We really do want to do that, by the way.
Thank you. I'm hoping that you will be able to guide me in the right direction spiritually. How do I live with the fact that I took my mother to a hospital with good intentions, and unfortunately there was a lot of things that were done against protocol. There was a lot of things that have done that I personally believe were covered up and then led to my mother's demise.
Oh.
My mother was begging me not to take her to that hospital in the car, but I thought I was doing the best thing, and it's now a regret that I've had for over a year that I took my mother to a place that harmed her.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry, and I can sure see why you would feel that way. I think anybody would feel badly. And, you know, here was something that you were doing, and you had the best of intentions, right?
Yes.
And you really felt like it's what needed to be done, and now you've got regret because it didn't turn out that way. There are people that do things, and they don't have the best intentions. Let's just say this, that you were tired of your mother or whatever, and you just wanted to dump her off at some hospital. That's happened before. You know, let's just get her to the hospital and get, you know, I'm tired. And no, that isn't what you told us. You really felt like this was the best thing for her, and it didn't turn out. All of us do these things, and they don't turn out the way we want. And of course, we're left with regret. What's the path? Well, I'll let Chris and Alice fill in, but I know this. You have to grieve not just the loss of your mom, but you have to grieve the fact that the choice you made didn't turn out the way you wanted to. So you got to really grieve that. Be angry about it, sad about it. But be sure that you put the blame where it goes with that hospital, not you. You didn't provide the problem.
Now,
they did.
The other thing that is, if I had animosity with that hospital in the years prior to this, I did have problems where there was almost a mistake made and I took my mother out of that hospital. On that fatal day, I forgot about it. It wasn't the first thing and foremost in my mind. I was within 5 minutes of that hospital and I didn't think about
of those things you have to process with somebody so that you can grieve it, and then you reach this place where you're able to accept it. Okay, I did my best, I forgot, but my heart was there for her. Horrible thing. So you go through the sadness, the anger, you come to an acceptance, you embrace what you got in front of you, maybe not out of bitterness and resentment, but you help other people see that maybe that's not the safest place. You write some letters or whatever. But you're going to have to accept God's forgiveness. Go ahead,
Steve, Chris. There's something that happens. It's incredibly common. I want you to hear this, Angela, is that when something life-threatening or something that is bigger than us is dangerous to us, like a tragedy, like the mishaps at the hospital, our brain is always, because it's in a state of being out of control of something that is that serious, it's looking for a way to control. And one of the ways it does it is it makes us responsible. And so, of course, there's animosity towards the hospital. I don't know what happened previous to that fateful day that you held some animosity towards the hospital towards. But there's a hospital 5 minutes away that you take your mom to that is reasonable that they would care for her in a way that would help her, and they didn't do it. That's all reasonable. But because of this tragedy, your mind is looking for an excuse to gain control over this tragic situation. And that, what Steve was alluding to, is that is an avoidance of grief. Because seeing this happen and seeing it senselessly happen is more than just losing your mom. It's losing your mom to a tragedy. And again, your brain wants to gain control over that. And what I want you to do is be able to let go of that. There was nothing you could do that day. You did exactly what you could do. Now, whether the hospital did or not, and it sounds like they didn't, that's on them. But by letting that go, it allows your heart to be able to enter into that grief process, which is hard. And as Steve was saying, I want you to be able to find a counselor to help guide you through that process.
And Angela, I wonder if your grief is also complicated by people in your life perhaps blaming you or holding you responsible for making that decision to take your mom to the hospital. And Steve was pointing something out.
Yes, people have said you have known there was some animosity before, there was hostility and conflict with them in the past. You should have never even went near the street.
Mm. So your own sense of guilt might be doubled, tripled by other people also accusing you. How could you have done this when you knew there were problems with the hospital? That's the message you're getting.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I wonder, too, if one other layer is in this, Angela, because no one has a perfect relationship with their mother. And so even though your desire was truly to help her that day, if she passed away suddenly and unexpectedly and there were any unresolved issues or emotions between the two of you, or if you were frustrated with her or tired of helping her with her medical problems, if you've held on to that against yourself, that you would have normal problems caring for an ailing mother, I think that could also stall you in your grief process.
No, my mother and I had a perfect relationship. As a matter of fact, it was written in there that we had a very unhealthy relationship, and it was finally time to cut the umbilical cord, which is what aggravates me.
It was written where?
It's horrible. In her notes?
In the medical record.
Oh.
By a hospital worker, that the mother and daughter had a very unhealthy relationship. They felt we were too close, and it was time to cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah. And Angela, you're dealing with a lot of other people's narrative.
Right.
And I want you, again, to be able to separate and talk about severing. I want you to be able to sever those narratives from your truth. And again, by getting in with a strong, good grief counselor and process, they can help you reintegrate or reconnect with the truth of what actually happened that day. And again, allow you to be in, you lost your mom. That is a huge, huge loss, to be able to enter into the process of grief and find that resolution. Yeah. And again, set boundaries around other people's narrative about what happened.
All right. I'm going to send you, Healing is a Choice. I think there's some really, really helpful choices there, like a choice to grieve. I hope and pray that you grab some opportunities to get involved in a women's Bible study, a grief share, grief group, whatever it takes. Get some folks to come alongside you to help you see, not shame you, but help you see you did the best you could with what that situation. And in a situation like that, it's so easy for our our memory to kind of fall apart there for a little bit, or we forget some major things. All right, let's go over here to Linda, San Diego, California, listening on the internet. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Linda.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. So hopefully I can explain this. I'm a little nervous. I belong to a recovery program, and the other day we were locking the doors, and all of a sudden one of the members just started, a lady was going to drive off, and he started yelling at her because she was a new secretary to lock the doors. And he just yelled and became really aggressive. And then she came out and she was like, oh, he's really angry at me. And she started telling me that when she took over the secretary job, he didn't want to give her the key. And he said he couldn't right now, and called her up in the weekend and wanted to come over and take the key to her house. Mm-hmm. And she felt very uncomfortable about that.
Okay.
And I had heard from somebody a month before that this same person was doing what they call 13-stepper. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what it was at the time. But now, when that happened, I felt very uncomfortable. But I thought, well, I don't know if I should get in the middle. But then yesterday, I got a call from another lady who said that he had done something similar to her, too.
Okay. So
and
what's
so now,
the question for us?
I don't know
us?
What to do, or if I should say anything, or how do I handle this?
Okay. Is this a secular recovery group?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not something that is under leadership of a church, for instance.
Correct.
Okay. Most of the secular recovery groups have a regional office. That's one thing. There's usually a central office, and one option is to contact the central office and say, we have a problem. The other thing to do is if there is somebody that you trust, maybe a couple people, maybe a couple of men that could talk with this person with you just directly and ask this person to resign their, if they're in a leadership position, to not do that anymore. And to get some help and ask them to go get some treatment for it. So you've got the option of, if you want to kind of stay safe and that you report it up the chain, or you just get somebody else to go with you and have a conversation with this person. Chris, what do you think? Alice, you have a thought here about what she could do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's important that we not just let stuff like this slide.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this cannot continue to happen. This does sound like very unhealthy, dangerous, predatory behavior, which does happen in recovery groups. And it's incredibly unfortunate, but it has to be called out. So just to echo what Steve was saying, you know, there are umbrella organizations in 12-step recovery, intergroups, and larger regional groups numbers that you can contact. But I do think it's important that you take another person with you to confront this individual. And I would also suggest that there actually be two other people, and one of them be female and one of them be male. This guy needs to feel a male presence in the room.
Okay. Yes, because one of the ladies actually spoke for the other lady, and when she came and when they went to the meeting, he was very aggressive towards them.
Yeah, that's where you get another male in the room.
Oh, okay.
Because if he most likely won't do that with another male in the room, and if he does, he'll get totally exposed.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Linda, thank you so much.
I would just add, Linda, that I think God is calling you to be a hero in this situation, and that puts you in a pretty difficult position. And so I'd also have you bring these great suggestions of Steve and Chris to prayer, and then God will show you which step to take first, how to take it, and you might get one or two other people to pray you in and through this process to help have clarity and wisdom of the safest way. The last piece I'd add is that confronting this man is actually the best way to love him in his brokenness and to protect other vulnerable women in this group. And it sounds like you have the courage and strength to do it, even if you're afraid and intimidated. And we're proud of you that you're even asking this question.
Mm-hmm. All right. Really glad that you called. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think you'll love it. And this is a great call for anybody. You know, this whole thing, if you see something, say something. Well, if somebody else experiences something, maybe they just don't have what it takes to do what needs to be done. And we never want to just let some problem person run free and victimize somebody else. That's the big concern. That's why we have to do the tough thing if we have it within us to do it. Doing something alone, never a good idea in a situation like this. Have somebody with you. I like the suggestion of another male and another female, or two males and two females.
Yep.
Especially if there was some kind of retaliation when this came up before. People are really in trouble. They don't know they're in trouble. They have these defective coping mechanisms, and we need to help them.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and some great things going on in the ministry. And, well, I'll tell you, if you are struggling, what we do best, do a lot of things, I think, pretty well, but the thing we do best are the intensive workshops. You may not need one. Call us. Let us help you and find a counselor, whatever. But, oh, my goodness, what a great, great joy to see somebody come to an intensive and experience that. All right, let's go and talk over here. By the way, the phone number for three fabulous, fun-filled hours, 1-800-229-3000. I want to talk with Jane. Now, she's calling from Baltimore, Maryland, listens on Sirius XM, channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern. But if you get the app, if you go to the App Store, download the New Life app, wherever you are, you just click the app. If we're on live, you got us. So you can have us anytime, anywhere. Jane, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. Glad to be here today and hope that we can help you.
I hope so, too.
Thank you. Okay, let us have it. What is it?
I am a married sex addict who has cheated on my husband many times. Some of those people include his youngest brother, two of his brother's friends, and two of his cousins, and numerous others, but we call that the blacklist.
When was the last time you cheated on your husband?
I was sexting a gentleman in mid-July.
Okay, and what has happened in your life? What's happened in your life since mid-July? What have you done?
In mid-July, I got caught, and at first, I didn't confess to everything. I confessed to little bits and pieces, and then finally, after him really pressing on me, I confessed to everyone.
Yeah, but what have you done to help yourself?
I am in a personal counseling session once a week with a Christian counselor, and then we see a marriage counselor once or twice a week every week to... Mm-hmm. Okay. Try to get through this.
Okay. What else?
He wants all the details to all
Okay, let me just stop you. I want to help you. So before we talk about that, if you don't get in a recovery group where there are other women who have been where you are, I don't have a very good prognosis for you. Has either the marriage counselor or the personal counselor said to you, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you got into a group where other women have gone through what you've gone through?
They have mentioned a Sex Anonymous group, but it wasn't mm-hmm. going to be all women. And where they mentioned is too far away from where we live. Mm-hmm. They only offer it in, like, Virginia, and it's too far from where we actually live.
Okay.
So I haven't enrolled in any of those groups.
I would suggest that you, we'll put you in touch with one of our counselors. If you know, my wife, she facilitates a group like this, and you could be one that gets one started in your church. Now, why am I saying this? Because a lot of people have different levels of sexual addiction, and yours is pretty severe, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, to me, just going to counseling once a week for you and then a couple times with him, I don't think it's going to get you where you need to be and want to be fast enough and quick enough. And something's going to derail the two of you because this is deeply ingrained in you. Now, I'm going to just stop for a minute. Chris, talk about, you are the sex addiction expert here.
Yeah. Well, first off, Jane, great courage and awareness to call in today. You're calling in today because you know intuitively that what you're currently doing is not enough. I want to honor that. As Steve was saying, it's not enough. What you're describing just in the few sentences, the severity of your addiction, you admitted to it. So you need severe treatment for this. And what I mean by that is, as he was saying, a 12-step recovery group. The other thing that has to be addressed here is that you won't be able to find full emotional freedom and connection that you need in recovery unless you get in and do some really deep trauma work. I have to say that whatever happened in your childhood, first and foremost, I am terribly sorry about. But secondly, there is pain that is driving this behavior to seek out connection over and over and over again without the vulnerability of relationship or being known. And that is 100% shame-driven from pain of your past. That has to be addressed and lasered in on with great focus and great care. And so being able to meet with like a certified sexual addiction therapist, treatment, and definitely 12-step recovery is really important here. And you've gone to extreme measures to act out. You may have to go to extreme measures to get recovery.
Okay. Now, I think you have a different question, but I just want to establish that. Because if you were a guy calling in, we'd just instantly say, oh, you've got to do these things, you know, to pull this off, to truly transform your life here. And so when we come back, we're going to get to the real question you had. I just wanted to establish this because it's important for everybody to know that, man, if you're this deep in the weeds, it takes a lot of equipment to get it all chopped down and be free. We'll be back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and talking with Jane, and Jane wants to get it right, and she's called us, and we try to help with some recovery concepts, even though they weren't asked for. But Jane, what's the big question for us?
The big question is nobody seems to believe that I slept with his brother. His family doesn't believe it. His brother has denied it. His brother printed out text messages between us that happened a few months ago. We never discussed anything through text message, and I never told him about sleeping with his two friends. He may have suspected it, but he never confronted me about it, and I don't know what to do, because what I do remember of the text messages, my husband saying that, you know, that's not good enough, I can't say that I don't remember. I mean, I sit and I think about it, like, all evening to try to figure out, like, is there more I'm missing? But I've been pushing those memories aside for so long because it triggers anxiety attacks, and I really just want to make believe that none of this has ever happened.
Yeah,
so it's really hard, and my husband doesn't believe me, and I understand because I've been so deceitful over the years.
Yeah, okay. Alice, really, you have a thought here? Let's see what Alice thinks about this.
A couple of things here, Jane, and I add my thanks to you calling because we don't get enough women calling and admitting this sort of struggle. So that takes great courage to do. And I believe you that you can't recall every detail and you can't recall every aspect. And there may be a couple of reasons for that. And one is that when we're caught in sex addiction, there is an intoxication in the process. And similarly to intoxication from drugs or alcohol, we don't have perfect recall after the fact of what happened when we were actively engaged in our addiction. So there is scientific truth to back that up. Now, at the same time, you know that you have so deeply broken trust that your husband probably can't trust much of anything that you say. And it will take a great deal of time and patience and proof in your behavior and proof from feedback from other people working with you that you are becoming more trustworthy. So I'm going to give you something very specific to do when he asks you about details you cannot recall. And that is to honestly let him know, I can't remember that right now. I'm going to take that to prayer and I'm going to come back to you in a day or two to let you know if I have an answer, if God has clarified that for me. The other piece is to ask him and be a good active listener. How does it affect you that I say I can't recall? Because you have every reason not to believe me. I have shown you I'm not trustworthy. If you can do those things and listen to him in his pain and his struggle of all the doubt he has in you, I believe that will help you over time to move forward. But it's not a fast process by any means.
And Jane, you can't forget that his brother is not going to readily come forward with the information either, right? You hid and you under the shame and betrayal of your sex addiction. And so his brother acting out, he's not going to admit to this and say, oh, yeah, I slept with your wife. So he's going to do everything he can.
He straight out denied it.
Yeah. And so I think that the issue is keeping it, trying to do your best to keep it between you and your husband, that you're not here to run anyone else through the mud or throw anyone else under the bus, but you're here to find health, healing, and recovery. And it is now, critically important to keep that in focus.
Now, does your husband know why you wanted to have a sexual relationship with his brother?
That kind of happened over the years. My husband worked night shift for a while, and we've been married for 10 years. We've been together for 16.
Yeah. But
so he
maybe
figured it was going to be a safe place for me to, like, hang out with him while he was at work.
But,
and
yeah, but see, here's the thing.
It was fine, but then I developed feelings.
Yeah, it's a different level of betrayal, and that's something that would be good. Much more be talking about whys and what you have been looking for in these affairs that is not being provided back home. Because, see, if you're in this addiction and you must have forbidden fruit, if you must have the adrenaline of the sexual sin, he needs to be understanding that more than details, who, what, and when. Because it's a long road back when the only kind of sexual gratification that you've had is outside of marriage. It really takes a big adjustment for someone like you to then change, really get help, healing, recovery, not just therapy, but recovery. So that something that is so sacred and not forbidden can exceed anything that you've ever had outside of marriage. But it's a reprogramming, not of just, I think it's heart, mind, body, spirit, everything. And when you're off the air here, which you are now, I'm going to ask the assistant to give you my phone number here. I want you to have your husband call me because I want to talk with him. I've been in his situation. I know what that feels like, and I want him to move on to some things that are more important and deeper than details, things like that. The fact that you've had several partners, I mean, it just, that's what he needs to know. And every person that's been betrayed is entitled to every detail. And I just beg you to not want them, not ask for them, because they just hurt you worse. No, you think, oh, I have to. No, you don't. And a year later, you'll wish you didn't know anything other than the fact that she was unfaithful or he was unfaithful. And this is what they're doing today to get better so that that never happens again. How much more important is it that the person is remorseful, has tried to make restitution, and is not on that path any longer? That's the real key.
Steve.
Yeah.
It's easy to fall into justification and defensiveness as well, especially when we have a few months of recovery under our belt. And Jane, the more that you can validate why your husband can't believe you and that he keeps asking these questions, the more you can validate that you broke his trust, that it's your fault that he thinks you're lying when you can't remember, the more that will help him in recovery versus trying to show him, trying to prove to him, no, I'm so much better, I've done all this work, but show him, validate what he's going through.
All right. And I'm going to send you this book, Worthy of Her Trust, because I think it'll work for you. I think it's a great book for you and him, and I think he needs to read it, and you guys ought to read it together so he knows what to expect.
And Steve, if I can just point out one more thing, because these calls are so critically important, and that is we typically think of sexual addiction as a male issue, and it's just not. It doesn't discriminate, and it doesn't discriminate upon gender. We know that there are more males than there are females, but for the females out there who struggle with sexual addiction, the level of shame as well as the availability of resources to help are just so much more challenging.
Right.
But it's just as important that we care for them, that we help them as much as we would help the male who's in this situation, and just championing her, calling it out, and seeking the help.
All right. Very good point. And let me just also say this. When we started in 1988, first person we ever treated was a female sex addict. Amy, Houston,
that's
Texas,
awesome.
Sirius XM Satellite Radio. How you doing today? Glad you called us, Amy. How could we help you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I will try to make this as quick as I can because it's a multi-year problem. But our daughter, when she was around a junior in college, met a young man and started dating him, and they're married now, and we were paying for school and all of that. Saw some things then, but, you know, didn't connect the dots. Anyway, long story short, it appears that he pulled her away from our family and that sort of thing. Before they got married, she was involved in some things, her choice. We're not putting all the blame on him, but there were some moral issues that were against God's word and the way she had been raised. We tried to address these with her. There was actually some things that he was involved with her, putting things on the internet that were inappropriate. We begged him to meet with us and with a counselor, and she refused. And she wanted to have a church wedding, and we said we could not go along with that we wanted to meet with her and a pastor and the young man and let's get some things out in the open and talk about. His family basically stepped in and said, well, if they don't want to be involved, we'll provide your wedding, and they did. And we were not involved. It was the hardest thing, decision we needed to make, but we
So what, what's the question for us before we go to this break here?
Okay. She has said, there's estrangement, obviously, from that. We were starting, once they got married, we said, we want to honor your couple. We want to have a decent relationship. And that was starting to happen. And then all of a sudden, it just completely broke off. He seemed to be excited about her.
What's the question then? Can you ask a question real quick?
How do we pursue? She is basically.
Okay, well, we'll get to that question right after this.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and we're talking here with Amy. And Amy, the question for us that you want answered is what?
How do we go about trying to reestablish when she has sent us an email that says, do not call me, do not text me, do not send me cards.
Okay, yes. Great question.
I don't want you in my life.
Chris, what do you think? What's the best path there?
First off, this is heartbreaking. I mean, you obviously love your daughter. You've sought to reach out to her. You've sought to, you know, resolve the issues, even with third party. But I also think that subtly beneath all of this, Amy, is a desire for your daughter to be something or someone that she maybe isn't ready to do or that she needs to figure out on her own. And so I think there was a lot of fear of your daughter's behavior that somehow she wouldn't be the Christian that you want her to be. I think that she may be sensitive to that, felt your disapproval, and instead of what we call differentiation, meaning that she took ownership of her life and really had honest conversations with you, honest disagreements with you, she was rescued in her separation from that anxiety that she felt with you guys through her husband. And now he has control of her life instead of you having control of her life. But the one thing person who doesn't have control of your daughter's life is your daughter. And therefore, it's just a real difficult situation. She's established, I wouldn't say she's establishing a boundary here. I think she's establishing a wall, which is like no communication whatsoever, which is really, really difficult. But I think you may need to honor that for a period of time.
Yes.
You know, not forever, but just for a period of time.
Right. We did for 1 year.
Oh, okay.
And we emailed her and said, we love you, we miss you, we're always here, please.
How'd she respond to that?
And she said, I don't have the mental capacity to deal with any of you right now. And if that changes, I'll let you know.
All right. I think maybe in this case you do that every year.
Okay.
Sweetly asking if she tell like Chris says, love you, care about you, and is there any chance you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
Alice, quick comment there?
Yes. In the interim, Amy, I think there are three things you can do to better prepare yourself for the day that hopefully she's willing to reconnect. The first is you can start asking for people that know you and your daughter well for feedback about anything you might have done that could have pushed your daughter away, even if it was unintentional. The second thing would be to keep a journal where you write communication to your daughter that you will not give her until, if hopefully, one day she's open to it. But perhaps you write in there a weekly letter of things you wish you could have told her if you were in touch with her. Mm-hmm. And the last is an ongoing prayer team for both you and your husband, if he's involved in this, for your daughter and her husband, that there one day will be reconciliation. But I think your best chance is enacting the BEAM principle. Looking to take that beam out of your own eye first so that you're better ready and open to a relationship with her.
You know, I'm really sorry you're going through this, and I hear your heart. It would be wonderful if God just wrapped all this stuff up so quickly, but rarely does that ever happen. So just hang in there, persevere, don't give up. And if there is some major thing that you realize, oh, wow, no wonder, and you can get that message to her that, wow, you finally see it, oh, my goodness, feel bad that, and I'm not saying there is something like that. I'm just saying if there is. The Bible's so clear. As far as it is up to you, you want to be at peace with all people, but you can't be in some situations. The wound is so deep. The hurt is so great. But, boy, I'll tell you, you have an all-access pass to the all-powerful God in prayer, as Alice is saying. And the more people you get praying for this miracle, the better it is. I have a friend, daughter lost forever. Don't contact me. Don't come near me. Don't see the grandbaby. Wasn't long till that that child, I mean, it took a while, but that child woke up. And I'm going to pray that in your situation too. I'll ask everybody else to pray, because these are kind of things that really require a great deal of prayer. To do what we do, oh my goodness, are we ever grateful we get to do it. We need your help. Now, I'm going to try to encourage you to sign up for Club New Life, and here's why. There is a video library that only Club New Life members have access to, and we've got a brand new series. We've got four and an eight-part series on recycled pain. Club New Life members love these videos. They're like 3.5 minutes long, each one, and so everyone packs a punch, great info. For a guy like me with ADD, I can actually stay, pay attention the entire time. And that's just one benefit. Now, right now, if you call us, you get the 71 teachings that we put in a thumb drive. You can get it however we can get it to you. And these are great teachings, the best we've got from Henry Cloud, John Townsend, all the hosts are on there. And we send you a Bluetooth speaker, a New Life Bluetooth speaker that will assist in the quality of your hearing these great messages. We really care about you. We love you. And we want the very best for you. But please help us if you can. And that $30 a month Club New Life membership is such a great way. And if you're already a member and you'd like this, then if you increase your membership by $10 a month, then we give you whatever premium that we have. And we have some amazing people that are part of this club. Also, I want to remind you that a one-time gift, I send you the six things every relationship ought to possess. And these are great things. They're just it's a great little book for you and your husband or wife to go through. And or if you're single, to say, hey, if we ever get another shot at this, this is what I'm going to be looking for. Our workshop's coming up October 5th in D.C., November the 2nd in Orange County for Every Man's Battle, and then Life Recovery Conference, October 6th. It's not like a full weekend workshop. It's one day. And then our celebration, October 19th. We'd love for you to come for that. It's at Mariners. Restore is November the 9th in D.C. Our next Intimacy in Marriage is February the 15th. Now, some of you, and we've talked about this before, some of you are at a place where you feel like God is not there for you. You feel alienated from every Christian you've ever met. You feel alone. Or maybe you're connected to people verbally, you're talking to folks, but inside you're just in a totally different place. And nobody knows who you really are or what you're going through. If that's the case, we want you out of that. We want to help you. You don't have to go to a workshop. Maybe there's a book that we have. Take Your Life Back has opened the floodgates of insight to so many people. Maybe there's a Bible, Every Man's Bible, the Life Recovery Bible. Maybe there's something like that that could change everything for you if you call us and let us help you. We have counselors around the country. There are recovery groups based on the Life Recovery Bible. And there are intensive workshops. There's counseling, coaching, so many things. And people are committed and dedicated to helping you. And they're right there at the phones. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We hope and pray that if you or someone you love needs some help, you would say, why don't you listen to the program, or why don't you call these folks at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and see if there's something they could do to help you. You know, it's just like I've taught many people the same lesson I heard on what not to wear when I heard the guy say, sometimes you don't know you need help till you get help. How true is that? Oh, my goodness. You sit down with the counselor and you say, I've been resisting. What do we do? That counselor will lead you. 1-800-229-3000 to join us for the next 2 hours. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to help us or get help for yourself. We love you.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.